With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I am a licensed psychotherapist. I am here on Loveline sitting in for Dr. Chris while he is out this week. I only have 2 more days with you, so if you've got questions, if you need advice, give me a call. The number is 833-568-3001. For those of you who don't know who I am, you might know me from VH1 Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen or VH1 Family Therapy with Dr. Jen. You might have heard me on the radio, on other shows, or my own show, The Dr. Jen Show, on other stations. I'm an author. I've written a few books. The Relationship Fix, Dr. Jen's 6-step guide to improving communication, connection, and intimacy. Super Baby, 12 ways to give your child a head start in the first 3 years. The A to Z guide to raising happy, confident kids. I have a weekly column in InStyle magazine called Hump Day with Dr. Jen, where I talk about sex and relationships. So what all that means to you, because really, I don't matter that much, but what matters to you is that I can talk to you about a lot of different things. Sex, love, dating, relationships, career, whatever it is that is on your mind, no issue is too big or too small. You can reach me at 833-568-3001. And I'm going to start out tonight talking about cheating. It is such a hot topic. It's such a volatile topic. I posted earlier today on my social media at Dr. Jen Mann, 2 N's on Jen, 2 N's on Man. And it tends to be one of those things that people obviously get pretty riled about. And it's also one of those things that there are a lot of misconceptions about, that people tend to think that the only reason why people cheat is because they are horny, because they want sex, because they are a jerk, because they're a bunch of other words that we can't use on this station. But cheating is a lot more complicated than that. And there was a study done by a guy named M. Gary Newman. He did the 2 largest longitudinal studies of cheating. The first one he did was cheating men, and the second one he did was cheating women. And there were over 500 cheaters in each of his studies. And he is a great researcher, and his studies are pretty amazing. And what he found will surprise you. What he found was that for only 8% of the men and only 7% of the women did people cheat purely for sex. So what did they cheat for, you ask yourself? Well, here's the surprising answer. Connection. Connection is key. Over 90% of men and women, which is the leftover percentage, I guess that ends up being 92% for men and 93% for women, cheated because of a lack of connection or a combination of a lack of emotional and sexual connection. So what I always talk about, because to me, when I read that as a therapist and also as a person, to me, that was revolutionary. And what that teaches us is that connection is the greatest vaccination against infidelity. And don't get me wrong. I am not saying if someone has cheated on you or if you have cheated, it's justified. That is one of the most painful things that anyone can go through, that kind of betrayal. But what I do want to say is that it doesn't happen in a vacuum. And a lot of the time when I get couples in my private practice or on one of my shows that I'm doing therapy with, and we're able to get past, once we deal with the anger, the hurt, the pain, the magnitude of the betrayal, and we're able to examine the relationship and do a postmortem, inevitably there were things missing from the relationship. Again, I want to emphasize, it is never okay to cheat. This does not make it acceptable, but it does help people to better understand, and it also helps people understand how they can avoid it happening in their relationship. And there are a few things that I want for you to keep in mind, or actually to do in your relationship. One is to make sure to nurture meaningful conversations. It is so easy to keep it limited to, how was your day, honey? It was fine. How was yours? How did things go at work? What did the kids need to go to soccer practice? Okay, you take James to soccer, I'll take Julie to basketball, whatever it is. The second thing is, you always want to make your partner feel seen, heard, understood, and appreciated. That is the key to connection. And people are far less likely to cheat when they feel that kind of connection in their relationship. The third is, and this is going to surprise you, because a lot of people, especially today, don't value this, and that is eye contact. We spend all our time looking at our phones, but eye contact actually makes us have dopamine, a dopamine release, which also releases oxytocin, which is really surprising for most people. And I know in my relationship with my man, with Eric, when we first started going out, there'd be times where he'd be like walking through the room, going into the closet as we're talking, and he's doing something, he's changing. He's like, I can hear you in here. I'm like, no, I need eye contact. I need to see your face. I need to see your expression. And it's more important than most people realize. And then the fourth thing is, be careful who you open up to. People tend to get very sloppy, and that poor boundaries are a slippery slope to emotional cheating, which is a slippery slope to sexual cheating. So having good boundaries is really key. I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I am a licensed psychotherapist here to talk to you and answer all of your questions for the next hour, 833-568-3001.
Love line.
This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Hey there, I'm not Dr. Chris. I am Dr. Jen Mann, filling in for Dr. Chris. Well, he is out this week. I'm a licensed psychotherapist ready to take your calls. You know the number, 833-568-3001. I'm here to offer you advice, talk to you about anything you are concerned about, no issue too big or too small, no topic off limits, sex, love, dating, relationships, parenting, career, you name it, I am here for you. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Jen. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Lauren. What's going on?
So I recently entered into a new relationship. We've been dating for about a month and a half now. Mm-hmm. And we were very vulnerable with each other from the beginning. We both struggle with PTSD. His is a little bit more recent than mine. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to be exclusive with him, asked me to be his girlfriend after about 2 weeks of knowing each other. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I think neither of us is the type of person to want to date multiple people at once. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in him enough to want to date him exclusively. But after only a couple days after him asking that, he told me that he wanted to take things a little bit more slowly and take a step back. So I asked him if he would rather not be exclusive. You know, maybe he made that decision too quickly. And he said no. He said he still wanted to be, you know, together exclusively, boyfriend and girlfriend. But since then,
and what does that mean? If he wants to be exclusive but take things slowly, I don't understand. I'm confused.
Right.
You are confused
too? That was kind of my reaction too, and we did have a conversation about it. But I've noticed a little bit more of a lack of connection, mm-hmm. kind of like what you were saying earlier. And so I just want to understand if this is normal at this stage, since we haven't been together very long. It doesn't really feel like I'm much of a priority because he does want to take things slowly. You know, I haven't met his friends or family, and I obviously have not introduced him to mine because I don't want to do that prematurely if he doesn't really know what he wants. But he says he wants to be together exclusively.
Okay, Lauren, I have a lot to say. You have called the right place.
Like, it's a red flag, basically. Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you the first red flag for me when you were talking. Do you want to guess what it was?
Okay.
Do you want to guess?
That it was so quick.
Well, we got really vulnerable really early. And don't get me wrong. You know I'm all for vulnerability. If you listen to me at all, I am all for it. But I think it's really important that we let people earn our vulnerability. And the fact that you guys were kind of spilling, and it sounds like you both had a lot of trauma, which it makes sense that you might not have the best boundaries, either one of you. So that's very fitting. And you mentioned you both have PTSD. Mm-hmm. But this sounds like, you know, a lot of the time when things happen that fast with both people, no one is the gatekeeper with the two of you. Nobody went, mm-hmm. you know what, I got to pace this. You guys didn't pace this well. And typically what happens, and I can't be as graphic as I would like to be, but typically what happens is that one expels all that they need to expel early on in the relationship, and then there's nothing left, if you follow me. It was a lot too soon. And the other red flag to me is that, and look, on one hand, I really like that he wants to be monogamous with you. I really like that he made that request. I like that he communicated clearly. But a lot of the time when I see people, especially guys, and I don't want to be gender biased on this, but it can be with women too, but I see it more with guys who push for monogamy or a super hard commitment fast, I always go, I wonder if this is a controlling person. And I've done a lot of work. I spent many years working for the Los Angeles Commission on Assaults Against Women as a rape and domestic violence counselor. And so I'm a little hypersensitive to these kind of red flags. And so to me, I think that you've got a guy here who wants exclusivity, who wants vulnerability, but just scared the poop out of himself. And someone's got to pace it, and it's not going to be him, although he's kind of trying to pace it by pulling back and moving things so slowly. So again, to kind of summarize, we've got a lot of red flags. This is a guy who needs to do some work on himself from what you've said to deal with his PTSD. And I think it's great that you guys are both aware of it. Is he in therapy to deal with his trauma?
He sees multiple therapists. Yeah, it's military trauma.
Okay. So he sees specialists in that kind of trauma and all that sort of stuff. Have you seen anything related to the PTSD that scares you? Like sometimes with people who have been through
anger.
Yeah. Combat people, the PTSD can come out in violence or aggression.
He hasn't fully let it out. I've seen where I felt like it was about to come out, but it didn't.
Okay.
I have noticed that.
And you are in the honeymoon stage. You're in the honeymoon
stage.
Usually you get a good 12 to 18 months, at the minimum 6 months, before people really show you totally who they are, which is why I would say don't get engaged until it's already been 18 months, because it's really important to really know what you're working with. So, I think that you are onto something. I think that you have some concerns that are 100% valid. If you ask me, should I break up with him? The answer to me would be, you know, there are enough red flags to warrant it. But if you want to play this out, now you know what you need to look for. And you need to be careful about, if I were you, and look, one thing I want to put out there to anyone listening is, don't take yourself off of the dating market until you really know who you're with. It's really important. If you value yourself, if you have good self-esteem, you see yourself as a hot commodity on the market, and you don't want to take yourself off the market until you know you're with someone who is similar to you in philosophy, in monogamy, in core issues, in the kind of future that they want to have. So, Lauren, I really appreciate your calls, and I hope that this was helpful. I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I'm a licensed psychotherapist. I am here ready to take your calls. Whatever is on your mind, give me a call at 833-568-3001. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Jen. Thanks for having me tonight.
My pleasure. What's going on, Sarah?
So what happens when you've been in a relationship for almost 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's been great. But, you know, I'm 20 years younger than my partner, and we've raised 3 children together that are not my biological children, but I've invested 20 years now. And now I'm having issues of if there has been infidelity. Our family unit has had a lot of different problems over the years. So things have been difficult where holidays are a challenge, and I feel like after 20 years, I'm at a crossroads. Do I want this life for the next 20 years?
And when
I'm also when super you say, invested in these kids in our life. So.
Of course. When you say there are questions of infidelity, can you be more specific? Have you caught this person cheating? Do you know something for a fact? Have they admitted it?
I have had one incident where it was a phone call of something questionable, like a massage. I don't know. It just didn't feel right. You know, the female intuition.
Absolutely.
But not anything, you know, like in our home or like an encounter, nothing like that. No. But kind of a strong intuition.
Okay.
That something's not right of a massage somewhere remotely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. And I'm going to be going to break. And
we're 20 years deep.
And
20
years deep. I need for you to hold with me. But here's what I want you to think about during the break. And I want you to get back to me. I want to know. You said that the phone call was kind of the tip off. I want for you to sit and think for during the music break, and I want you to come back and tell me what else is a tip off for you. What else are the red flags? Because I have a feeling if you really zone in on it, there's something more. And then we're going to talk about what you should do when you've invested 20 years into a relationship and your partner is cheating or you think they're cheating. Do you stay? Or do you go? I'm Dr. Jen Mann, and I will be right back.
Loveline. 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 Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Hey, this is Dr. Jen Mann sitting in for Chris. I am a licensed psychotherapist here to take your calls at 833-568-3001. And I'm on with Sarah, who called me because she's been in a relationship for 20 years that she describes as great. She is 20 years younger than her partner. She has raised stepkids, and she has a gut feeling that her partner is cheating on her. And before the break, what I asked her to do was to think about sometimes what happens in a situation like this is we see signs, but we put our head in the sand. We don't want to see them, so we close our eyes to them, we push them away, we go into denial. So, Sarah, I want to ask you, besides this strange call that you got from someone who said she was a masseuse, what else gives you a gut feeling? What other thing just didn't sit quite right?
You know, not a whole lot, but just that was kind of an indisputable red flag when it happened.
What about phone use?
And also...
Yeah.
Well, Al, also, as you mentioned, after 20 years, you're not quite as risky. I'm 20 years older than I was, you know, even. Mm-hmm. But being 20 years younger, I always kind of felt that, I don't know, our intimacy wasn't going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it is. And there's changes that happen with women, and my sexual desires haven't been as heightened as always.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to determine, you know, is this just kind of an unrealistic expectation that as women, as partners, we want to try to ascribe to, or, you know,
and have you asked
tell me, Dr. Jen.
Have you asked your partner if he or she is cheating?
Yes, of course. And deny. And for all other intents and purposes, I have a highly supportive partner. And every other need that I may need them there, they're there. But me and I can own up to that personally too, that me sexually after 20 years, I'm not in changes that I'm going through now in my 40s, early 40s. I'm not feeling as sex, you know, I don't know what's happening.
And that's a separate issue because I really believe that it is important that we work on keeping our sexual juices flowing. So then let me ask you, what is your question? You're assuming that your partner is cheating. And so you want to know if after 20 years, do you leave them just because they're cheating? I don't mean just, but there isn't anything else that's bothering you in the relationship.
No, actually, unfortunately, just because in a lot of other areas, it's good. But maybe in the sexual area, it's not that good. And if you don't have trust, you don't have anything.
And if it's not so good for you, it's not so good for him or her.
Yeah.
And have you had that discussion?
I would say yes. But obviously, you know, if we had had that discussion on a meaningful level, then ideally that wouldn't be happening. And I would be...
But if you say to your partner, you know, I've noticed we're not having sex as often. And when we do, it's not as amazing.
No,
it's probably...
I don't say that.
What do you say?
I always feel like it's... Well, it's the male that always wants more sex than the woman.
Not always.
I really do feel that more often than not. More often than not. Well, when you've been in a relationship 20 plus years, which that pool is very small.
Yeah.
Smaller
yeah.
than the pool of not being in the same.
But I gotta tell you, I've seen
so
my
honestly,
share of women and men in a relationship where 20 years in, the woman wants more sex than the man. Believe it or not, and I just point that out because there are other people listening.
Though, if you're really being honest, because just to have a pool of people yeah. who have you faithfully been in that pool for 20 years, not because you have
yeah.
to be. Because
yeah.
you want to be, not because you're the mother of the children.
Okay,
but let's want to be in the relationship.
Okay, so let's get back to your question.
Is that accurate though? Is that accurate? I don't know.
I've seen a split. I definitely think it's a little more on the male side
not,
wanting more,
not
but
a
I've
one
seen.
Size fits
I would say it's a 40-60
sure.
of what I've seen in my practice. But getting back to you,
okay.
let's get focused.
Okay,
what is your question
yes.
for me?
The question is, how do you know what your future goals are when you've invested so much and there's a lot of love at the end
but
of the
day? But I don't think that's your real question because I know what your future goals are. You already told me and you know what they are. You've invested 20 years. You don't want to leave. You've raised stepkids. You're invested. What's your real question?
Oh, au contraire. I feel like that is the question.
But you've told me. But you've said that you don't, you've implied to me that you don't want to leave this relationship because you're very invested. So
no,
to me, it seems like
okay.
you're...
Okay, well, perhaps you misunderstood. You
okay.
misunderstood because leaving the relationship is 100% on the table right now.
Okay.
So trying to navigate that, the pros and the cons. Because, you know, not to be callous, but I feel like I am an individual who has options. So I'm educated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not reliant on this person for my survival. If you will, kind of the best of both worlds. You have a lot of love. But
yeah.
at the end of the day, maybe there's some resentment, perhaps, that I'm not articulating. Should I have to settle for this? Or is there a relationship for me where this won't have to be part of my narrative?
To me, the answer lies somewhere else. And that is, I believe if you've been in a relationship for 20 years and... 21 years,
mm-hmm.
you've helped raise
mm-hmm.
children, you've raised kids together, that to me, the first place you go... because
Not
if you're
my biological children.
No, I get that. I heard that.
Okay.
I got
okay.
that. But you've co-parented okay. for a very long time.
Correct.
To me, the
Correct.
First place you go, because let's say you're going to choose to leave. You want to know you've done absolutely everything humanly possible to see if this can be worked through. So to me, the answer to you is you guys need some help articulating the issues in this relationship and working through them. You've got resentment that you guys are having sex less frequently. I get the feeling that there is a lot that isn't being talked about between the two of you. And to me, that's the first stop. Before you make any decisions about staying or going, you got to put it all on the table and see if you can work through it. I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I'm a licensed psychotherapist. You can reach me at 833-568-3001. And I'll be right back.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Jen Mann, a licensed psychotherapist, sitting in here for Dr. Chris Donahue. Well, he is out and answering all of your questions and offering you advice. All you got to do if you need some advice, and it's free, is give me a call at 833-568-3001. I'm here tonight. We've got a little more time left. I'm also going to be interviewing an amazing celebrity attorney, civil rights activist named Lisa Bloom in the next hour. She has won cases. She's won the Bill Cosby case. She has she's kind of known for bringing down serial sexual harasser Bill O'Reilly. She's a tough, incredible, amazing attorney, and she is going to answer your questions and my questions all about everything you need to know in your workplace and everywhere else. I'm Dr. Jen Mann, and I am here with Jennifer.
Hi.
Hey,
Dr. Jen.
Hi, Jennifer. Hey. Welcome.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say it's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
Love your work. Super Baby has been an amazing help to me. And that's kind of why I'm calling. My husband and I are separating, and we have a very bright little four-year-old who is very perceptive.
Mm-hmm.
This decision to separate is coming at an awkward time. We were in the process of moving to a new place, and it's going to be a little while before my husband has another place to, you know, to go. So my son is very perceptive, and we were talking about the best way to tell him about what's happening and when the best timing would be. On one hand, we don't want to say anything until after we have a set place for him to go. On the other hand, I think that he may already be picking up on some of the tension and the stress, even though we're trying to be as amicable as possible.
This is a great question. Just so I understand logistically, you are moving. Have you found a new place for you and your son?
Yes, we are actually in the process of moving into that place right now.
Okay.
But we were, as a family, going to be moving when the decision to separate happened.
Is your soon-to-be ex-husband moving into the new place with you until he finds his new place?
Yes.
Okay. I don't recommend you tell your son until your soon-to-be ex-husband is actually moving out, till it's more concrete. I think that
okay.
it is, it's fine for you to acknowledge if your son says, you know, it seems like you guys are fighting, or if he makes observations, yeah, you know, we've been having a hard time. If
okay.
he makes these observations, you don't want to do that crazy making behavior. Oh, no, everything's fine. You want to actually acknowledge his truth and what he's seeing.
Yeah.
But don't bring it up until you have the concrete facts. When you do, there are a few things that you need to know. One is you need to let him know the plan, what the plan is in terms of custody. When is he going to see his dad? You need to let him know what his room will be like there. You need to make sure that before he goes to your ex-husband's home, that it is furnished, he's got a bedroom, that it's cozy. Otherwise, it's scary and overwhelming at that age. And excuse me, that he has some of his comfort objects there. Also, okay. when you do tell him, it's going to be very important for you to let him know. And I know that sometimes it's almost like a cliche, but as you probably heard me talk about, kids are egocentric. No matter how smart, mm-hmm. no matter how perceptive your son is, when kids hear that their parents are separating or divorcing, the first thing they do is they go, uh-oh, I must have done something wrong. If I were a better kid, if I were less trouble, if I slept better, if I didn't, you know, if I my diaper training had gone better, then my parents wouldn't be separating or divorcing. So it's really important. It seems obvious, but let your son know that it is not his fault. It is really important that he is aware that, and you tell him point blank, I want you to know, mommy and daddy, this is a problem with us, that this is not your fault. And we love you. And also to hit home, sometimes mommy and daddies divorce each other, but mommies and daddies never divorce their children.
Okay.
So it make sure that you really hit home with that message to him and that you let him know exactly what the plan is. I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I'm a licensed psychotherapist. And now I've got Sandy on the phone.
Hello.
Hey there, Sandy. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Jim, for taking my call.
It is my pleasure.
What I'm calling about, I lost my mother. It's been about a year and a half ago, and there's some things that just kind of have, I've been beating myself up, I guess, since her death, probably prior to her death, about 6 months prior. She and I were at my house in my kitchen, and of course, my mother was up in age, and I had wanted to tell her what a beautiful mother she was and that, you know, I felt like God had given me the gift of a lifetime for raising me the way that she did. And there was just something about that day when she was sitting there that I wanted to tell her that. It was just me and her, and it just got real quiet, you know, and we weren't talking for some reason, and I can't recall if my father was here or not, but for some reason, either somebody came in the house or whatever, and I didn't do it.
Sandy, and, do you think that your mom knew that she was loved by you?
I mean, I told her that I loved her.
Do you think do you think that she felt bonded and connected to you?
Yes, I mean, we talked every day, maybe twice a day. You know, we were really bonded. Yes,
you're really close. Sandy, here's the thing, and it's so sweet that you're holding on to that moment. But here's what I think is really going on. I think that your mom knew she was loved. I think your relationship demonstrated that. You talked to her twice a day. You've admitted that she felt loved by you. And I think that what you're doing is you're holding on to that moment in the kitchen because it's a way to hold on to your mom. And the greatest gift you can give your mom is to let go of that moment, but to hold on to the memory of what a spectacular mother she was and how grateful you are, and also to take those moments as your life goes on and speak your truth and speak in love and let people know how you feel. Sandy, thank you so much for your call. I'm really honored. I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I will be right back after this break to talk to Lisa Bloom, celebrity attorney, who is going to answer all of your questions and mine about everything you need to know about sexual harassment, everything you need to know about, well, pretty much everything.
Loveline. 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 Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I am sitting in for Dr. Chris Donahue while he is out of town, and I can be reached at 833-568-3001. And I have a really amazing, accomplished, incredible guest that I'm so excited about. Her name is Lisa Bloom. You've probably seen her pretty much every time you turn on TV. It's very hard to miss her. Not only is she incredibly brilliant, she's articulate, and she always has this great way, even before I became friends with her, and I know I may sound biased, but I'm really not, because before I even knew her, I would look at her on TV and be like, wow, she just makes things that are very complicated when it comes to law really understandable for the layperson. Lisa is the host of her own National Live Daily talk show on Court TV, as she was for 8 years. She is interviewed all the time for major news outlets like CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, LA Times. You can't turn on the TV or pick up a newspaper without seeing her name. She's most proud of creating and executing the media and legal strategy that brought down serial sexual harasser Bill O'Reilly. You know, she plays big. Like, I would not want to mess with her on any level, and she is someone who I would always want on my side. She won a record-breaking $11 million sexual harassment verdict for her client Chastity Jones against Hollywood billionaire Alki David. She founded and owns one of the largest and fastest growing civil rights law firms in the U.S. called the Bloom Firm, where she represents celebrity clients, Blank Chyna, Misha Barton, but also ordinary people. People who just are seeking justice in all areas of civil litigation, family law, especially victims of domestic violence, sexual harassment, race or sexual discrimination, sexual assault, and police excessive force. She's a civil rights badass. And The Hollywood Reporter recently named her as a top Hollywood power lawyer. She's appeared on countless top 10 best lists. She's been litigating and winning. She won the defamation case on behalf of Janice Dickinson against Bill Cosby for years. So, Lisa Bloom, welcome to the show, and thank you so, so much for being here. You are such an impressive woman and have such an impressive wealth of knowledge.
Jen, that is like the nicest introduction that anybody's ever given of me. Thank you very much. I've been in a sexual harassment trial all day. I think my voice is a little bit hoarse from talking to the jurors.
So yeah. Forgive me, but that was really very, very sweet. Thank you.
Well, and also, look, I have to thank you publicly. You also did one of your greatest feats was introducing me to the love of my life, Eric Schiffer. So I got to give you kudos for that,
you know,
as well.
What? You guys are the cutest. You deserve each other. You're two grown-ups who do such beautiful things in the world, and you're also so smart. And you're so darn cute together. It was meant
to be. Thank you so much. So here's what I want to know. And I see so many people who, in my practice, who I talk to wherever I go, who call into radio shows, who want to know, how can someone know? And I know it may seem like a simple, like a kind of silly question to an attorney, but how does someone know if they're being sexually harassed? What's the line? How does someone know that?
Well, here's the good news is that in California and New York, where two states where I practice, most of where we practice nationwide, but mostly in California and New York, the law keeps changing to get better and better for victims. I mean, California and New York are basically locked in a competition right now to see who can have better laws for victims of sexual harassment. So I would say if you're in the workplace and you think you're being sexually harassed, you probably are. Mm-hmm. Sexual harassment is unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature mm-hmm. that makes you uncomfortable and makes it hard to do your job. It used to be it had to be severe or pervasive. Severe meaning really bad, not just one little minor thing, or pervasive meaning it happens over and over again. That is no longer the law in either California or New York. So right. Now one incident could be enough, and it can be words. It can be gestures, it can be conduct, it can be online stuff, it can be photos, it can be text, and in most of my cases, it's a combination of these things. It can be somebody saying they love you, they think you have nice, you know, fill in the body part. Mm-hmm. Obviously, touching is way, way over the line. I don't advise anybody touch anybody else in the workplace other than a handshake. Mm-hmm. There's no need to do anything else. Yeah. And you shouldn't, because a lot of people are uncomfortable about it, and they don't want to tell you, but they're just not comfortable. So that's sexual harassment. It's really not that complicated.
And, you know, I'm thinking of, I got a call a number of years ago from a woman who was a young woman. She was in her late teens, early 20s, and she had a boss who she was going into his office, and he was watching porn. And it was on his computer.
Definitely way over the line.
And for sure. But I'm thinking, okay, so she decides I'm going to pursue this. And he says, you know what? I wasn't watching porn. No, I wasn't doing it. How, like, what should someone do? What kind of information?
Take a picture. Okay. Take a picture and immediately send it to your personal email.
Yeah.
Or to your mom or somebody. Listen, everybody under the age of about 25 would do that automatically. They wouldn't even breathe their next breath before pulling out their phone and taking a picture so fast and sending it to somebody. So, and everybody comes into me with this stuff, with recordings, with photo. Recordings are technically illegal in California if both parties don't consent, but literally nobody's prosecuted because everybody's recording everybody all the time.
In
New York, it's a one-party state, so you don't even have to have the other person's consent.
And that's what I was going to ask you about, because I was just watching The Loudest Voice about Roger Ailes. And by the way, your image flashed up on the screen when they were showing a scene of someone watching the news. You're everywhere. But
and I haven't watched the last episode, so don't tell me how it turns out. Did Roger Ailes survive at Fox News?
Oh, it's a big secret.
Yeah. Continue?
Oh, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But in it, Gretchen Carlson starts recording, and they were in New York, which, as you pointed out, is a one-party permission mm-hmm. state to record. So what happens? Let's mm-hmm. say someone is in a state that's not New York or California, and they do record that. And whether does it still count as evidence, even if it can't be used in the court? Can they be harmed by doing that? Can they get in trouble? How does that work?
Listen, I'm supposed to say that you should check your local law. You can easily just Google, you know, for example, Arkansas one-party recording or two-party recording, or laws of surreptitious or secret recording in Utah, wherever you are. And you can find out the answer in 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I'm supposed to say, you know, you shouldn't violate the law. No, 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 don't violate the law. But I'm telling you, in so many of my cases, people do this. The other side says, we're going to report her, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really? Go ahead. You must think prosecutors of America are going to prioritize a workplace thing. There's also many exceptions. So even in California, there's the crime fraud exception. You can record somebody without their consent if you're doing it to preserve evidence of a violent crime or of fraud. And violent crime, not just any crime, violent crime. But if you're a domestic violence victim, mm-hmm. and I represented Oksana Grigorieva years ago against Mel Gibson, mm-hmm. and she recorded him as he was beating the crap out of her years ago. And, you know, Gibson's team was always saying they were going to, I'm sure they did report her, and I don't think anything happened to her for those recordings because they were evidence of a violent crime. So domestic violence victims should definitely record. Mm-hmm. Fraud is simply lying. Mm-hmm. To try to get some kind of commercial gain, often like in a lawsuit, for example, or, you know, so there are exceptions. I am in favor of recording. Obviously, there is some risk in states where it's illegal. I can't promise you nothing's going to happen. There is a risk, but it is the most powerful evidence. I also want to say Gretchen Carlson is a true heroine. And she is amazing. I love her. What she did as the first one to come out against the most powerful guy in her industry.
Yeah.
She really laid the groundwork for the Me Too movement. And then she took her money and she devoted herself to helping other women, writing a book, touring the country, talking about sexual harassment and what women can do, speaking before Congress, trying to get the law changed to get rid of secret arbitrations for sexual harassment and confidentiality agreements. I mean,
she's amazing. And we're going to go to break. But here's what I want to ask you about when we come back. There is something that a lot of people are doing on their phones right now that's causing a lot of problems. I'm seeing more and more of it in my practice, and I know you have fought lawsuits and won about it. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this thing.
And I know what it is.
I think you do. And we're going to talk about it because if you're listening, it's something you've probably done and you're going to want to know.
Love Line.
This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I am filling in for Dr. Chris, and I am very fortunate to have a spectacular guest on with me right now named Lisa Bloom. You've probably seen her anytime you've turned on the TV to watch news. She is known for taking down serial sexual harasser Bill O'Reilly. She has won cases on behalf of Janice Dickinson against Bill Cosby. She has represented celebrity clients like Blac Chyna, Misha Barton. But also, Lisa helped just ordinary people like you and me who are seeking justice in all areas of their life, whether it is civil litigation, family law, victims of domestic violence, sexual harassment, race or sexual discrimination, sexual assault, you name it. Lisa represents people and she wins. She does not mess around. She is, well, and we're going to talk about some names that she has been called that will be coming up soon. But what I want to talk about right now, and Lisa, welcome and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. One quick correction. There is nothing ordinary about you.
Thank you. You are too kind. So here's the thing. I've been a therapist for a long time. I've been a therapist before people had cell phones and smartphones and all that kind of stuff. And now that people have them, one of the things that it is unusual for someone to not do at some point in their relationship, regardless of age, but especially if you are in your 20s or 30s, but honestly, 40s and 50s too. So, and mm-hmm. that is sexting, taking sexy pictures, mm-hmm. or at some point recording, having sex with a partner, someone who you trust, maybe a spouse, but all too often, and more and more, I can't tell you how often I'm encountering people who there's a situation of revenge porn where an ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever posts video, posts pictures of that person that can destroy their life, that can hurt their reputation. And you have had a lot of success in fighting revenge porn cases. Can you talk a little bit about what people need to know about revenge porn, and when is it? When can someone prosecute? Like, is it is there a line that has to be crossed? Mm-hmm. Enlighten us, please. What qualifies?
So, yes. And many years ago, I was a victim of it myself, too, where an ex had made some videos of me consensually when times were good. And then we broke up and he threatened to release them. And that's when I had a TV career at Court TV that was just taking off. And I paid him to make them go away. And that's the decision I made at the time. I don't think I would have had a television career if he would have released it at the time, sadly. Now I would fight. Of course, now, you know, I'm 57 years old. I don't think anybody would want to see it.
But, you're pretty hot. I got to tell you, I think people would want to see it.
Okay. Well, okay.
But I love it that you shared this story.
It's a very serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really horrendous. Actually, I was a new anchor woman on Court TV. So it would have been like 2001, 2002. I was brand new. And I'm not going to say who was the person I was involved with at the time and breaking up with. And this was the threat. And there was another anchor woman at another network where a sex tape of her had just been released and she had gotten fired.
Wow.
And that was, I think, the motivation. And I thought, yeah, I have this new career in television. And that is what might have happened. So, it was awful and it was heartbreaking. And of course you think even if you pay money to make it go away, which I don't recommend now, they could still keep a copy. So anyway, but let's talk about the victories because now I'm bigger and better and stronger and I help women with revenge porn. And so women like Misha Barton and Black China and a college student who is just an everyday person and many others. So California has great laws against revenge porn. Here in California, it's a crime to post a photo of somebody that shows their sexual body parts, which generally means the naughty bits, probably not breasts of a woman, probably not buttocks, but actual genitals. But if you post a photo of somebody that shows genitals, actually it might include a woman's nipples now that I mention that, without their consent, it is a crime. Even if the woman consented to the photo being taken, that's a very important thing because lots of girls and women do consent to it at the time when things are good and hot and heavy. Sure. And they go along with it. And then things go bad. And there's just a lot of guys out there who think it's really awesome to threaten women with this stuff or to post it to humiliate them. And it's all 99% of the victims are female. So it's a crime. You can go to the police. You certainly don't need a lawyer or money to go to the police. You do need to get their attention because what I have found is that the police will very kindly take your police report and then it never gets followed up on and nothing ever happens. So I would recommend you go on the Google and look up revenge porn law, your state. If your state, like California, has a criminal law against revenge porn, print it out and take it with you because I don't think they get trained in the stuff. A lot of them probably don't even know it's illegal. So
it's a great
point. Make their job easy. You can also sue, and there's multi-million-dollar verdicts in revenge porn cases because, I was laughing about it a little bit a moment ago, but it's a very serious subject. Multiple girls and women have killed themselves over revenge porn. My college student was a star athlete, and her ex-boyfriend sent naked pictures of her in sexual positions to her parents, to her entire soccer team, to the coach, to rival teams. She was so mortified. Almost all my revenge porn clients say, I seriously considered killing myself.
Yeah, I believe
it. It's really
it.
Awful. Yeah, it's terrible. And, it never goes away if it's posted. Now, in my Misha Barton case, we were able to get out in front of it because she was a celebrity. There were articles that somebody was peddling a sex tape of her that she says she never even knew was getting made. Some guy surreptitiously recorded her. But we went into court the next day, got a domestic violence restraining order because we sort of pushed the law and successfully to get California to recognize revenge porn as a form of domestic abuse, which
that's
it
fantastic.
Definitely is. And so we had a couple of courts rule for us in that. And so anyway, but the good news is you can go in immediately. We got a restraining order the next day, a DVRO, domestic violence restraining order. You can do that any day of the week without a lawyer. You can go into court. Just Google, how do I do a domestic violence restraining order? You go down in your area and do it.
And in your experience, let's say you're someone who you do a tape like this, and then you're breaking up with someone and they threaten. They haven't actually posted it, so you can't yet go to the police station. Do you have any recommendations for what that person should say to their partner when they're saying, you know what, if you leave me, I'm going to post this?
Well, you know, that's kind of a mixed Lisa Bloom, Dr. Jen question. So on the legal side, I would say that's a crime. Mm-hmm. If you do, I will go to the police and I will sue your ass for everything you're worth. But I think it would be better if maybe you could approach it with Dr. Jen type advice. Of how do you talk to somebody who you're breaking up with to convince them not to do horrible things to you?
And
I pass that back to you.
And I'm going to answer that question after this break, along with... I want to talk to you. You are in the midst of a very high-profile trial that has had some serious drama that has been reported in the media that's kind of blown my mind, what I have read. And I want to hear from you firsthand about exactly what is going on in the courtroom right now and also what we can learn from this experience if we are... just kind of someone watching this. What do we need to know? What's our take home? I'm Dr. Jen Mann, and I will be right back.
Loveline. 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 Loveline.
Loveline.
Loveline.
This is
Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I am a licensed psychotherapist, and I am here with celebrity civil rights attorney Lisa Bloom. And we were just talking about a hot topic, which is revenge porn. And like I was saying before, I have seen so many cases of revenge porn in recent years because we all have cell phones and sometimes we want to record those hot moments with our significant other, or that person turns out to not be so significant and then does something which, as Lisa has pointed out, is illegal. And you know, first of all, welcome back to the show, Lisa Bloom.
Hello. Hey.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit about the emotional aspect, which I just want to address a little bit. And, you know, a lot of the time when I see people do something like this, they tend to be in the middle of such anger, which is often sparked by rejection. I think that there are certain personalities who are more drawn to doing this than others. I think that people who are kind of narcissistic, I think people who are a little antisocial, I think people who have attachment issues, because a lot of the time what ends up happening is that once a person leaves, because a healthy person may be devastated, may cry their eyes out for a really long time, be angry, be hurt. But when you cross that line and violate someone's trust and post an intimate moment like that, besides breaking the law, you're really showing you've had such a narcissistic wound, and you are being so spiteful that and impulsive in the moment. And I do think that it's important. I think sometimes when someone in the moment is threatening that, you can't necessarily rationalize with them. But what you can do is say, before you do that, let's talk. Let's have a calm conversation, because there are repercussions to doing something like that, and the repercussions are more for you than for me. But Lisa, I would like to talk to you about this trial that you are in the midst of right now that is being reported left and right in the media. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What can you share?
Yes. So I'm in the middle of a sexual harassment trial downtown L.A. against a billionaire named Alki David and the companies that he owns. I had a trial against him and his companies in April on behalf of our first victim, Chastity Jones. We had a full trial at one of the biggest law firms in the country representing him. They fought us tooth and nail on everything. And we won. We won an $11 million jury verdict, which is one of the largest jury verdicts in a single victim sexual harassment case in California. And we're very, very proud of that. I'm especially very proud of my client, who was so brave and who withstood so much. And she was on the witness stand for 3 days getting grilled.
Wow.
And she just got tougher and stronger every day. And I loved her. And also my team. I don't do this myself. I have a team of lawyers and paralegals who help me, and they are all fabulous. We're all staying in a hotel downtown LA now. On the second trial is for our client, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is also doing great. We've been 3 days in jury selection so far. So this one's going a little bit more slowly. And Mr. David has now made the brilliant strategic decision to represent himself.
Uh-oh. And I wouldn't do that against you.
when you represent yourself, you have a fool for a lawyer.
100%.
He still has the big law firm in representing his company, so they're still advising him and sitting next to him and whispering to him all day long. But he's representing himself, and that means he gets to stand up and talk in court a lot when lawyers do, and that means he gets to put in his foot in his mouth a lot. He can't stop himself from using profanity, and then the judge admonishes him and tells him, you know, he's got to stop, and he has outbursts, and the jury's really shocked when they see it. And today he grabbed my arm in front of the potential jurors. And do you think I took it like a shrinking violet?
Not a chance.
I did not.
What did you do?
I said, "Do not touch me." And then he took his hand off me and said, "I didn't." And the jurors, who were 2 feet away, looked at him. I thought, well, what a wonderful, vivid representation of what a liar he is.
Wow.
So they just saw with their own eyes.
Exactly
and
what
he denies it.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like, you know, I mean, please.
Yeah.
So the judge told him again that, you know, he's violating all kinds of rules of courtroom civility. He's breaking it. Not only is he representing himself, he didn't bother to look up any of the court rules to find out what would be expected. You know, why would you do that?
Someone who's narcissistic wouldn't tend to do that because they think the rules don't apply to them.
Right, exactly. And so I hope he continues to not read any of the rules. He gave an interview somewhere where he said, well, I just have to be my authentic self. So, Mr. David, I encourage you to continue being your authentic self every day. That's good. That's a good move.
Now, didn't he threaten you and your mother? Did I get that right?
Yes, he threatened. He said that the whole thing is a conspiracy between me and my mother. So,
And for those of you who don't know who her mom is Gloria Allred. Who
that's true.
I'm sure you've all heard of.
That's true.
Yeah.
My mom is Gloria Allred, and my daughter is Sarah Bloom, who is a trial attorney with me on my team in both of these cases. So there's a lot
multi-generational
of being spawned in my family. So there's 6 women accusing him. Okay, the $11 million verdict we got, the jury found he sexually assaulted my client. This is very serious business.
Wow.
And is very damaging to her, which is why we got her an $11 million verdict. We showed the post-traumatic stress that she's endured, and we got a lot of punitive damages against him, which I intend to do again this time.
And I have no doubt you will.
Women,
we're going to come back.
My mom and I are the ones that made this all happen.
We're going to come back in 1 minute. Actually 2 minutes, technically. And one of the things I would love for you to do is to share with listeners from this trial what is something that they should take home regarding sexual harassment. I'm Dr. Jen Mann, and I will be right back.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Jen Mann, licensed psychotherapist, sitting in for Chris Donahue. Well, he is out of town. He will be back next week. If you didn't get your calls in to me today, and I'm going to be talking to Lisa Bloom in a moment, you can also call and ask her questions as well. The number is 833-568-3001, and I'm going to be back tomorrow. But before we do that, before we ask Lisa my one and final question, we need to slide into my DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into my DMs, brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It is a big, sexy world. Explore with confidence. And this person here writes to me, "Hey, Dr. Jen, my boyfriend and I are monogamous. I am comfortable and willing to bring others, regardless of gender, into our sex life, and he is too. However, he has expressed interest in polyamory. Not now or soon, but someday in the future. I'm not comfortable with polyamory, and it really heightens my anxiety mentally and physically. How can I get more comfortable with polyamory? Will my polyamorous anxiety ever resolve? Thanks so much." In relationships, there are certain things that are non-negotiables. And to me, if you feel really strongly about monogamy, that is one of them. I consider 5 things: monogamy, marriage, having a baby, core values, and character, to be non-negotiables in a relationship. If you are truly comfortable opening up your relationship to a one-night stand, to a threesome, foursome, whatever some that you would like to do, I think you should consider it a test run to see how you feel about it. Because sometimes something that turns us on sexually, philosophically, or in fantasy, the reality of it can feel very different. And I want to advise you that if you do open it up for a one night, to do a few things. First of all, pick carefully of who you bring into the situation. I don't recommend it be a close friend because we have a bond, we have a connection that can then turn it into something more for your partner or for you. Two, discuss expectations emotionally. What are you both hoping to get out of this? How are you expecting it to go? All that sort of stuff. Three, establish the rules up front. How is this going to begin? How is this going to end? Where's it going to be? What kind of communication are you allowed to have with that third or fourth party afterwards? Four, be safe. Make sure that you're not putting yourself or your partner at any risk. And five, and this is one of the most important things, have clear boundaries. Before you go into it, discuss what's off limits, what sexual activities are okay and what are not. Because one of the most common problems I see couples get into in a situation like this is one person saying, wait, I thought we weren't going to do that activity, and you did. I feel betrayed. So last but not least, when it comes to polyamory, you know, see how this feels. See if this is something that you are truly, honestly comfortable with it. Don't do something just to please your partner that feels like it is too much of a give. Read about it. I recommend the book, The Ethical Slut, that if you're going to be open to it, that's a great place to get information. And end all be all, listen to your gut. It's okay if this is a deal breaker for you. I'm Dr. Jen Mann, and this is Lisa Bloom, celebrity attorney. You've seen her on TV. Oh, I don't want to forget, that was presented by Trojan Condoms. It is a big, sexy world. Explore with confidence. Now to Lisa Bloom. We're going to explore a little with Lisa Bloom. So Lisa, you're in this super high profile trial. You are a well-known celebrity civil rights attorney. You've won so many high profile cases. Dealing with this sexual harassment trial, what is the take home for people listening? What do people need to know most on either side, whether you are the employer or the employee? A few take homes for our listeners.
You know, so my poor client has to sit there all day long and be good and keep a neutral poker face as this guy rants and raves and uses profanity and calls her a whale and weight shames her and slut shames her and all the rest of it. But you know what? She's winning. That's how you win. You win when you don't get down on their level. And you never regret doing the right thing. You never regret taking the high road. You can go home and scream into your pillow or rant and rave with your friends or write a song about it or whatever. But when you're in the moment with somebody who's a predator or a monster or a harasser or just a bad boyfriend, don't go down to their level, because then they have something to use against you, right?
Absolutely.
That's my advice. You never regret taking the high road.
I couldn't agree with you more. And tell listeners, how can people find you? If they need help, if they are having an issue and they need your legal assistance, how should they find you?
So I'm always happy to talk to people. I do run the biggest and fastest growing civil rights law firm in the country now, I believe. We have 15 lawyers. We're expanding to 20. We're nationwide. So my law firm is very easy. It's the Bloom Firm. .com. Bloom, like a flower blooms, thebloomfirm.com. And you'll see a thing to click on, contact us, a very short form with just a couple of pieces of information. Give us a sentence or two what it's about, and we will follow up. And of course, it's always free and confidential. People reach out to us about many, many very difficult, painful situations. We take their secrets to our graves. You know, it's always going to be confidential, and we are happy to see if we can help you. And if we can't, there's often some place that we can send you for free or low cost that can help you. And we don't charge people up front in 99% of our cases. We only get paid if we win. And so we're large, we're expanding, we must be winning a lot.
And I think that one of the most common myths about you is that, oh, you have to be rich to call up Lisa Bloom.
Right.
But that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
And just tell me real quickly before we wrap it up, on social media, where can people find you?
So Lisa Bloom on Twitter, that's the best place. Lisa Bloom-esque on Instagram. I'm not as good as Dr. Jen is there. I'm just there a little bit. But yes, listen, vast majority of our clients, just ordinary people. My client, Elizabeth, in this trial was a salesperson. My last one was also a salesperson making $30,000 a year. So ordinary people going up against big, powerful people who have wronged them.
Thanks to you.
And that's what we do.
You are amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm Dr. Jen Mann. I'm a licensed psychotherapist. And if you need some advice and you didn't get through to me tonight, give me a call back tomorrow. It's my last night here, and I want to hear from you, 833-568-3001. And you can follow me on social media at Dr. Jen Mann. Two N's on Jen, two N's on Mann.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.